Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to read these four verses, I'm going to pray, and we're going to watch another clip. It says this in verse 1. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son, and God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. And when he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. And this shows that the Son is far greater than angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. So let's pray. God, thank you for today, this day, December the 9th, 2018, that you have a plan, that you have a purpose. And God, this is our prayer. What are you speaking to us? What is it that you're saying to us this day? We're not here by accident. God, whether it's just a celebratory time where we can laugh, we can have fun, we can share donuts and coffee, all those things are great. But God, you have a specific thing that you want to speak to us today. And whether it's in our situation, whether it's a circumstance, whatever it is that's happening, God, I pray that your voice is the loudest thing today. That you would speak to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Hello, little one. How are you?
Come.
Wow. She's deaf. You don't have to talk to her. She just wanted to see you. Thank you.
You are a very beautiful young lady. What's your name? Sammy. That's a beautiful name. Now, I tell you what, do you know Jingle Bells? Bells, jingle, bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride on a one-horse open sleigh. Very good. Darling, what would you like for Christmas? A doll and a bear when you shall have them. Sammy, I wish you a Merry Christmas. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Perhaps my favorite scene of this movie, just from a standpoint of how God sees you and me. You may not have gotten that message from that, but Mrs. Walker's daughter, she's not believing in Santa, and so she's experiencing and seeing from the outside the possibilities, the potential. She's a seeker. My question instantly when I watch that scene is, what if Santa doesn't know sign language? Would the experience for this little girl been a little different? With the experience that she would have had as a mom, she was settling for just my daughter seeing Santa. But Santa took it a step further, and he knew, he understood, he knew how to communicate to this little girl. And it's this picture. You and I, we're here on earth. We're busy. We're living our lives, pursuing our agendas. And most of the time, we're deaf to God's voice. See, God's doing all of these things, but it's like we're the individual that's sitting on Santa's lap and he's doing sign language and we don't understand. See, if you're in this room and you're like, I've never heard God speak, or I've never heard God's voice, and that's what you're waiting on, or that's how you think God should do it. Let me just say, God uses a lot of things to speak or to communicate to us. And this is the point of Jesus. That God sent his Son to communicate to us in a way that you and I can understand. And this is the things that you and I don't comprehend in our minds. Because despite us, God loves us. Despite knowing our past, God still loves us. And we've never been in a relationship like that. We are in relationships with people that have strings attached. And God comes in and says, nope, this is the way I'm choosing to communicate to you. I'm choosing to love you, despite your frustrations, despite the things that are going on, I'm choosing to love you. And again, Hebrews 1 says, long ago, God spoke to messages that God's prophets at different times and in different ways. The miracle of the message is that God speaks to us today so that we can know him and that we can draw near to him. God speaks in a lot of ways. And so we're going to talk through how God speaks. First, God speaks through history to reveal himself, to make him known, so that we might worship him and know him. He did this with Adam in the first garden, to Noah to build the ark, to Moses with a burning bush. He promised Abraham a son. He spoke to the Israelites from the smoke and the fire on a mountain. He spoke to Elijah in a still small voice, to Isaiah in a vision. He spoke to Hosea through family circumstances. He spoke to Joseph through dreams, and Paul on a road on his way to Damascus, when he was on his own agenda, his own way, doing his thing, God spoke. And God even spoke through a donkey. My friend Jeff Deal one time said, it's proof that God still uses asses today. So if you're in this room, you're like, my husband is a, he can still use them. He can still use them. He speaks throughout history. But how? So how is God doing this? How do I hear his voice? God speaks also through the Bible. 2 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy this. He says, every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit. The breath of God. It will empower you by its instruction and correction. How will I be empowered? By the instruction and the correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the path of godliness. He says, listen, here's how you will be empowered to live this life out. That when I open the Bible, that the words on the pages come alive and that I can read the stories and I can see what God was saying to those long ago, and it speaks to my situation, it speaks to my circumstance, and it empowers me by correcting me, instructing me. And most of the time, his word gives us a warning, maybe a word of encouragement. Maybe it's a lesson of life, but this is his story. This is the way he guides our life so that we will be the men and women that God can thoroughly equip for what? For every good work, the Bible says. See, this is the point, that you and I get equipped to do what God has spoken and called us to do. That means sometimes he whispers, and it also means sometimes he's shouting. But don't deny the fact that he is speaking. So if we're in this place and we go, God, I don't hear your voice and I'm never opening your Bible, I would say we're deafening ourselves. We're putting barriers in our way. I'm saying things like, God, I need you, but I'm not willing to head down an avenue where you can speak. This is why opening my Bible, I understand that when I'm going through something and I'm in a life of fear, that the Lord spoke to Timothy and said, listen, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. What is that? That is the word of God speaking to my fearful situation, letting me know that this spirit of fear is not from God. He's speaking through his word, but it only becomes active and alive, and I can go deeper when I understand and know it. I can't shut the book and go, God, you must not be speaking. No, maybe it's not God. I can't look at my marriage without looking through Proverbs and becoming the man that God's called me to be by looking what he's saying about my marriage, what he's saying to me as a father. Proverbs comes alive in me when I open it up and God speaks. So my challenge to us would be, how am I reading the Bible? And if you're in this room, you're going like, well, I don't really read the Bible, or I've never gone there and I don't know where I'd even start. Start in John 1. Hear what it is that God said. The word become active and alive so that you can hear what it is that God's saying. It also says that he speaks through his son, Jesus. says in verse 2, "But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe." We can hear God, his heart, his voice, by looking at the red letters in the Word. By reading these words, the words of Jesus, we understand God's character and God's heart by what it is that Jesus said. So much that Jesus said, "My own sheep will hear my voice, and I know each one, and they will follow me." What's he saying? He's saying, listen, when you're a sheep, when you're following the great shepherd, that we hear his voice, and not just hear his voice, we know him, and he knows you. He knows you. I need you to hear that today. God knows you. He knows every intricate part of you. You think your spouse knows you or a good friend knows you? No, they don't know you like God knows you. God knows you and he loves you because the sheep know who he is. You belong to him. And he says, listen, if he's heir, so are you as one of his children. Verse 3 says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things in his powerful Word." John describes him as Word becoming flesh. So much that Philip says to him, "Have I been among you?" Philip asks him to see God the Father. He says, "Have I been among you this whole time without you knowing me, Philip? The one who has seen me has seen the Father." This was a big deal. For people that were looking for the Messiah, for the people who are longing, you've ever been to a grocery store and you're looking for something else? Do you always leave with just that one thing? You leave with a couple other things. Why is that? You've been distracted. What do you think they put what they put at the checkout line? It's intentional. All this chocolate up here, you know? It's like I'm trying to fast and pray and be on a diet and all this chocolate right here as I'm checking out and the line's really long. It's intentional. He's saying, listen, you are searching, Philip. You are searching for all of these things. And I sent my Son. And Jesus is telling the disciples. He's saying, guys, you don't have to keep looking. It's the same message for our culture today who are searching for so many other things, trying to find satisfaction in all these other things. And it's the same message this Christmas that it is every Christmas. You don't have to keep looking. Philip, you don't have to keep looking. I'm already here. Everything that you feel void in your life, I can promise you this, Jesus can fill it. Amen. But here's what Jesus says. Jesus says the only way that that's going to happen, we'll get into that in a second. God speaks through his creation. Romans 1:18 through 20, one of my favorite passages of all time, says, "But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything that God made, they can clearly see his visible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, so that they have no excuse for not knowing God." Here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, look around. Look around you. The question that you have in your life of, is this all there is? Is there not more to life than what I'm currently experiencing is? Yes, there is more to life. And all you have to do is look around. And by looking around, it will cause you. You have enough knowledge in your brain. You were created with enough knowledge to look around and go, there must be more to life than what I'm currently experiencing. And you might ask that question at 13, or you might be 65. But at some point in your life, you're going to say, is this it? And God's going, no, there's so much more, you guys. And creation will tell you that. You can't go to the Grand Canyon and go, this must be a Big Bang thing. There's proof everywhere you go. And this was his point. So much that he ends with, that you are without excuse. You have no excuse. None. Just by doing that, just by looking out and going, whoa, this is awesome. This is incredible. Somebody, so much that Matthew 7 comes alive when you and I understand this. He says, keep on asking. You will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. He's saying, listen, there's a part that you play in this thing called life. But do you want to know why, Jamie, misses out, why Jamie becomes deaf, why Jamie sometimes misses the whole point? Because I'm not seeking. I'm not knocking. I'm not asking. I'm not doing those things. And then I'm saying things like, God, where are you? God, why are you not speaking to me? God, why does so-and-so always seem to be finding? And I'm constantly comparing, and I'm constantly wondering, and I'm constantly going, this must be something that other people get and not me. And God's going, no, I'm here and available. It's just that you want it to come quick with your agenda, with your mindset, with the things. And listen, if God comes on my terms, then wouldn't I be God? I play a role, and the role is that I might have to keep knocking. And you're like, my knuckles are bleeding. Where are you, God? Where are you? Where are you? God speaks not just through creation, not just through his son, but he speaks through others. He speaks through others. A timely word, the right word, a word of encouragement. Maybe you're down. When I was about 22 years old, I was traveling with my pastor at the time. I was a youth pastor, and I was really struggling with life, struggling with what I did, struggling with what I was doing. Kelly was pregnant with Jake at the time, and, you know, becoming a father and being a husband, and just, I was struggling with my identity and who I was and what it was that God called me to be and to do. And we were headed to this one day event, and there's a couple hundred people at this church in St. Louis, and we sat down and we're just going, and a guy's speaking, and it's good. I remember it being good. And he paused and he stopped, and it was like this, where you could tell, like, man, the guy doesn't know what he's saying, or maybe. And he came off the stage, it was, and he walked right up to where I was. And he said, you've had questions. And the Lord wants you to know today that you're on the right path and that his call is real. And I'm a crier, so FYI, like I cry, not fake preacher cry, but I will cry, you know, at times. And at this time I'm crying, right? And I looked at my pastor, who obviously was the only witness in the room of our conversation on the way there. And I remember feeling so humbled that God would hear my prayer and that God would confirm something like that. A lot of you don't know this, but I started out going to school to be a cop, to be in law enforcement. And there was a gentleman in my life by the name of Mike Sparks, who was assistant chief of police of Granite City Police Department and a family friend. And him and his wife started Mosaic Pregnancy Center, and just, they were dear friends to us. And I rode in the car with him a couple times, and he looked at me after spending some time with me after my first semester in school and said, Jamie, you're not supposed to be a cop. This isn't what you're supposed to be doing. There's something else that God has for you, and it's not this. Have you ever been disappointed, but it's good disappointment? Yeah. Like, for real. Like, you feel rejected in that moment. You feel like God was saving you from something, but you feel like you messed up. But it was God speaking through this man, correction and sometime encouragement, but it was this God using somebody else, because that's how God speaks. God uses other people. But always know this, does what people say or what people speak line up with Scripture? You have to know that, okay? So, like, you got to make sure. You got to confirm. You got to go to people that trust and all those things. But God uses people, and that's how he speaks. James says it this way. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It's also peace-loving, is gentle at all times, and it's willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. God speaks through other people. God also speaks through music. There's been moments in my life where I love this gathering, you guys. This gathering is incredible. I love being able to worship with you. But there's something special that happens when you worship by yourself. Whether it's the car down the road, or it's a room at your house, or just music and singing out loud. Second Chronicles says this about King Jehoshaphat. He's faced a huge army of enemies, and this is what he says. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. And this is what they sing. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. He says, before anybody else goes out in battle, I'm going to sing those that are sin, those that are available to sing. Those that are willing. It never says those that are gifted. It didn't say those that were qualified. It says he appointed singers. Listen, maybe you're in this room and you're in the battle of your life. Or maybe it's a small battle. Maybe it's a small situation. Maybe it's a circumstance. And listen, you're not going to be able to complain your way out of that situation or that battle. But what you can do is worship your way out of that battle. Because the Bible says that the Lord brought about a great victory. So it goes back to the first question that I asked you. What happens if he sends out somebody different? What if the singers don't go out first? What if they just did battle as usual? We're going to send out the best of the best, and we're not going to be singing. We're not going to be worshiping. What changes? Well, I guess my question would be, why are you still stuck in the current battle that you're in, feeling like you're going around a mountain? Maybe it's because you need to send out the singers, the worshipers. And that starts with you, because God speaks through music. God also speaks through circumstances. Sometimes God uses our circumstances to test our faith. We don't always know how to interpret it. One of the first things, this is the first things I usually ask God whenever I'm going through something. God, what are you trying to teach me now? God, what is it that you're trying to teach me in this moment? It might be that God is trying to slow you down. It might be that God is trying to teach you to persevere. And before you start going, wow, isn't that cruel? But again, you have to understand that God is for you and God is not against you. And if he's for you, then what he has for you is the best for you, even though you don't always see it as the best. How else would you interpret your circumstance? Well, I know how we've done it in the past. God hates me. God likes her more. God doesn't think I'm very special. Man, God must be coming at me for what I did a long time ago because, man, there's no way I'm going through this life. I must be the most unlucky person in the world. Or we'll get super spiritual. Devil, you got no place in my house. And that might as well be true, but I do think there's a lot of times where we're blaming the devil and God's up there going, listen, this one's not the devil. This is actually me. How else do you explain Job? It was God who suggested him to test him. But we've made testing a cuss word in our culture. A test is just to evaluate where we're at. The problem is we avoid tests because we don't like to be revealed where we're really at. So he says, I speak through circumstances. Not because I'm against you, not because I don't like you, not because I'm angry at you. I speak through these circumstances to let you know. When do you pray the most? I don't know if there was something that you did at your house that your kids gathered around and they're around the most time and they loved being with you and they loved spending time with you. Would you do that the most? You'd make that meal, wouldn't you? So maybe it's just that God likes to be around us. Or maybe it's that I only seek him or I'm only knocking when I don't know what to do with life. And God goes, I actually want that a little bit more. I just don't want it to always be during tough times, because we don't do relationships that way. If you have somebody knock on your door every time you're in a tough situation, that's the only time that they come or only time that they ever call, you're going to look at your screen. You're going to go, oh my gosh, Pat's calling me again. How much money does he need? Not that Pat, but. So-and-so's calling me again. They must need something. What are you going to do? You're going to decline that. But we want God to be different. I come to him the most when I don't know what to do. And God goes, it's a prerequisite. I got you. He speaks to us through that. And he speaks to us lastly through prayer and fasting. So Mark 9 is this passage of scripture where Jesus has just told the disciples, hey guys, there's going to be incredible things that you're going to be able to back. And they're like, phew. Cast out demons, there's going to be freedom that happens, and they go out and they come back and they're like, phew, this didn't work out how we thought it was going to work out. And they're asking the question, like, why are we not experiencing what you're experiencing whenever you do it? You said that we'd be able to do these things, and you gave us authority to do these things. Why are these things not happening? Jesus just simply came back and says, because some things only happen by prayer and fasting. Sometimes it's instant. Sometimes we pray and God answers our prayer. And sometimes God goes, no, there's some things in your life that you need to get rid of. And you need to shift your focus. This is fasting. Fasting is I'm shifting my focus from this area and I'm going this way. And by going this way, I'm cleaning up my life. I'm refocusing. I'm bringing clarity. And there's side benefits of it. Usually it's things we don't need anyway. Right? We're not giving up when we fast. It is funny when you go around and ask people who fast what they're fasting, right? It's like, man, it's kind of funny. Because we're not giving up like sleep. We're not giving up vegetables. Right? Because these are necessity things. We're giving up things that we don't really need anyway. And so God says, all fasting is I'm taking whatever it is that's going on in my life and I'm saying, God, I'm going to focus in on you during this time on behalf of this situation. And so whether it's a relationship, God, this will not change except by prayer and fasting. Yes, you said you were sorry. Yes, you asked for forgiveness. And yes, that is very important. But now I'm asking you to focus in on praying and focus in on fasting so that there can be true reconciliation that happens. Maybe asking for forgiveness isn't enough. Maybe you should then hone in on how do I make this a priority with my prayer life? Because some things only change by prayer and fasting. See, God speaks when you focus or refocus on the right things. And whether you're driving to work and you got this certain schedule that you do, you go get coffee or 44-ounce Big Gulp or you get whatever it is, and all you're doing is giving that up and you're saying, God, on my way to work, I'm spending these 20 minutes and I'm praying and I'm focusing. I'm praying for this situation and I'm asking you to speak. Guess what? Here's the promise. As you knock, as you seek, he will answer. He will speak. That is his promise. The best part is it's not my promise. It's his promise. He will speak. Now, I will say all that I just said to tell you this. You may not like what he says. You may not like it. God, I don't like that you're speaking. I don't like the tone that you're using in your voice. God, I need you to talk a little louder. But God speaks for one reason and one reason only, to transform you. This is what he says. He gave his life to purchase freedom for who? Everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. Okay? So don't go in this moment where it's like, well, God speaks to other people. It's not a me thing. It's everybody else's thing. Once again in my life, it's everybody else. It's not me. No. for everyone. And this is the message that God gave to the world. To the world. At just the right time. He speaks so that you and I will never be the same. Listen. So your marriage will never be the same? Listen. He doesn't speak to change your situation. He speaks to change you. He doesn't speak to move mountains. He speaks to give you strength so that you can climb the mountain. The problem is, we want God to speak. We just want to ask Him what to say or tell Him what to say. But the end result is always the same. It is to change you. To change me. Because Jesus is in the transformation business. It's why He came. And isn't it so interesting that you and I are in a culture that is ever changing? It is ever hypocritical. You don't have to look far to see hypocrisy. Don't even get me started. There's hypocrisy everywhere. That's the reason Jesus says things, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. His point was this, there will be hypocrisy as long as you live on earth. Just know this, the staple is, He is truth. What doesn't change is Jesus. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He does not change. My friend Jeff Dio also says, if we are uninspired by God, maybe it's because we've yet to encounter Him. It brings this question, right, inside of us that's like, why do I feel so blah? Why do I feel like my heart is not engaging? Why is it that I feel like I'm so disconnected? Why is it that 10 people can hear the same message and get 10 different things? Because we're at different places in life and our hearts are not connecting. Our spirit is not connecting. What is going on, God? And He says, listen, all you need is a word, an encounter, a moment. It'll radically change your life. And that word is usually in a circumstance, or in a question time, or in a wondering time. Or as I found myself in a questioning time, an identity moment. And I just needed a word. Listen, I'm not over making this dramatic, okay? I'm not trying to dramatize this. I'm not here today without that word. I'm not here. I'm not trying to play a sliding doors type thing and what have you chosen. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just telling you that is how powerful a word is. And it's at just the right time. That wasn't a month later, 2 months later. It was the very day I had a conversation. It was at just the right time. You're here, and the invitation is super simple. You need a word from the Lord at just the right time. And it might be that He's speaking to you today by the person next to you, or maybe it's your current situation, or maybe it's your current circumstance, or maybe you need to look through history and see how faithful God's been, or maybe you need to open your Bible and read what the Bible actually has to say about your situation, or maybe you just need to go, God, I'm gonna give you my life and a life of prayer, a life of fasting, and I need you to speak. The question is, are you knocking? Are you seeking? Are you asking? God is not deaf. God is speaking. God is speaking. Pray with me today. If you're in this room today, Maybe there's one thing, maybe two things that you heard and you're like, you know what? That's me. Maybe you're so overwhelmed right now by a circumstance, or you're so overwhelmed by life and the busyness of life that you're like, I don't know how I'm even going to make it tomorrow. That's not everybody, but that might be somebody. And you're just like, you know what? I need a Damascus experience. I need a word experience. I need an encounter. And maybe it was a song this morning that was sung, and it was the right word. And you're like, okay, God, here I am. Or maybe you're just in this room, you're like, you know what? I need that. I need that for my life. The invitation is simple today. You're in this place, and you need an encounter with Almighty God. There's nothing more meaningful this Christmas than that. If that's you in this room, could you just lift a hand up? I just want to know who I'm praying with. You're in this room, you're like, you know what? I need a word. I need God to show up. I need an encounter with Him. Just keep that hand up. Just keep it up. Thank you for your honesty. God, I do. I pray for every person with a hand lifted right now. God, I pray that you'd meet them right now where they are. I pray, God, as they are open to what it is that you're saying, God, I pray in this moment that you would speak. God, I pray that our eyes would be open, our ears would be open, and our hearts would be open to follow you. God, that is my prayer. Open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts today. In the name of Jesus. Would you stand your feet with me today? I asked Casey if she would sing this again, because those of you in this room that you raised a hand, and this may not be everybody or could be everybody, or you didn't raise a hand, this could be you, but you just want someone to pray with you today. I want them to sing this song again, but I just want you to know there's availability for someone to pray with you, to take it maybe even deeper, step further. There's something very valuable about accountability and looking at someone and saying, I need you to pray with me, or I need to tell you something. Something happens when it goes from here out your mouth into somebody else's ear that is so powerful, and I can't explain it. I can't explain it. But freedom happens there. So if you're in this room and you raise a hand and you just say, you know what? I need a little more than just the raising of a hand. A quick prayer. I need someone today to pray with me. As they play, would you come? Would you come out and listen? Oh, I hate that our culture puts pressure and we even got to think this line. Who cares? Okay? Who cares if somebody's going to say something? Okay? I just challenge you to come to a place where it's like, God, I just want you, and that's all that matters. And so if someone's going to say something, who cares? Who cares? Who cares? We're all dressed ugly today anyway, right? It doesn't matter. I got a lot of turmoil in the first service for wearing a hat in church. And so if I've offended you, get over it, okay? Please come, okay? If that's you today, please come. Thank you.
Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we only want to hear your voice. We're hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God.